fighting for America.
We've got to move away from what our Labor Secretary Tom Perez calls a train and pray approach. We train them and we pray that they can get a job.
Fighting for Idaho.
There's a lot of power in family. There's a lot of power in faith, and there's a lot of power in freedom. Christians and conservatives need to no longer be afraid, because we are the majority. We just happen to be the silent majority.
Fighting for you.
The Bible says we should pray without ceasing, and I think God meant it when he said it. Even if it's just a quick, fast popcorn prayer, as we used to say years ago, prayer is the key to a life of peace and hope.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller, in the morning.
Amen.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. We do want to thank everyone for our Matters of Faith program. Do want to thank Ray Amaya and Dave Burnett for doing the tough work behind the scenes. I've had to book that show myself, and I can't think of a better Matters of Faith program that we've had here at 580 KIDO, so I want to thank them. Do want to thank Ray Amaya for really booking this guest, Chief Masterson, with us from the Boise Police Department. I don't know what we're going to talk about today, but you've been in the news quite a lot. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Your thoughts just on where we are as a city. Big accolades to you, Sheriff Rainey, the feds, for Boise being the safest city or one of the safest cities in the country to live. That's not an easy thing to accomplish, sir.
No, it's not. Not in a metropolitan area of almost 500,000 people. I think it's attributed to a couple of things. I think one is the declining national trend in crime. We're part of that. But I think more importantly that we have focused on some directed, targeted efforts to clean things up in certain areas. You saw the downtown safety project, which has resulted in some great things. But I think more importantly, it's the level of involvement that we have from our community, and that people still really do care here about public safety.
Indeed. Easier said than done. What are our biggest threats? We hear it from Kieran Donahue, Sheriff Donahue, in Canyon County when we're speaking about the gangs, the meth. We see now heroin production at an all-time high. What really, in the city of Treason in particular, are our biggest threats?
Well, I think we still need to focus on drugs, because we see what drugs and alcohol do as drivers to our jail populations and the stupid things that people do. I look at the crime statistics, Kevin, and commercial burglaries are down. Our residential burglaries are still at the lowest levels in 25 years. We're still working on the first reported homicide in the city. You know, I'd tell you that it still kind of centers on some numbers with domestic violence, and I think a lot of our work is as first responders to people in crisis. We've really shifted from a crime-fighting role to one of responding to people in crisis, because we are the first responders to that, unfortunately.
And when we take a look at the state of the police department, how are we doing as far as staffing and manning and everything of that nature, sir?
We're just catching up. We hired 6 officers that are out at post starting a couple weeks ago. We have 3 lateral entries coming in June. And we just had a testing for the next class of 15, which will start hopefully sometime this September. We are losing a lot of people to retirements. There's about 51 people who are eligible to retire in the next 4 years from our department.
Chief, what else can we talk about today? Obviously, we'll talk a little bit about what happened during the legislative season, but we do want to make sure that you get your points across. You do believe in community policing and everything else. We want to make sure that we're fair to you, sir. So when we take a look at the drugs, and you have the programs in the schools, we talk about the gangs and everything else. Again, we take it for granted how blessed we are. Sometimes people get crazy with the driving and such. It's certainly not Los Angeles here.
Yeah, you know, I'm not gone yet. You talk like the rest of the media that want to get my last words. I expect to come back on your show a few times.
Yes, we'd love to have you.
You know, a lot of stuff that's going on out there, the whole issue of guns and violence and mass shootings, what we saw down at Fort Hood again. Why aren't we working more upstream in those areas instead of now talking about, well, we're going to put $30 million into West Texas University to teach officers how to better respond to these. Let's look at preventing them instead of responding to them.
Well, and that really comes to the point of violence and guns and what to do. We'll, before we get to Brian in Boise, there's been a couple articles. We might have touched on it the last time that you were here, sir, when we talked about folks are concerned about the, to quote the Wall Street Journal, the militarization of the police. MRAPs in Nampa, you've got Ada County with a kind of a vehicle. Are you concerned about that and the impact it's having on your ability to control crime and to fight crime?
I don't think so. I think that there is a perception that we have to be cautious about as we acquire surplus military equipment, but don't judge us on the form. Judge us on the substance of how we interact with people. I think that there's a big difference between how a soldier performs and how a police officer in a democratic society performs and interacts with people. And unfortunately, what I just talked about is that, you know, when we see the weapons, when we see other types of violence that are out there, I have to protect the first responders. I have to. Panel vans don't work for us anymore in stopping high-powered bullets. And unfortunately, and fortunately, when the military is coming back from the recent theater and they have surplus equipment, it gives us the opportunity to pick something like that up. But I think the public should be more concerned when police departments go out and get drones to peek on people.
You haven't gotten a drone yet?
No drones, no aircraft. But like I said, I think that there are the more important discussions of what we do with that technology versus that we just acquire it.
Let's go to Brian in Boise at 580KIDO. Good morning, Brian. You're on with Chief Masterson.
Well, thank you. Chief Masterson, I do agree with you in regards to going more upstream. You did qualify that Boise's first responders, and I'm certain you have heard from the public that that the first responders are those who are there as immediate to be able to defend anybody from harm or injury. And in fact, that's what occurred in April of 2012 at McDivitt Pond. Two gang-style guys were coming towards myself and my family, and they were saying they were going to hurt people. And I turned to let them see that I was open carry, and they qualified in explicit language that, oh, he's packing, and they turned and left. And they went over to the skate park and started harassing people over there. And that's just – so I do agree with you that more upstream you go, the better it is. My question for you I do have, though, different from that is what do you have the citizens do when they do see – a police officer, specifically within the city of Boise, because that's where you are in command of, when they are observed violating state or city code?
Well, I think we have a complaint process that people call in. I know they frequently call in. They'll call in driving complaints. They're the largest number of calls that we get. But if you have a concern about an officer's performance, we want to hear about it, good or bad. And you can contact the department with that concern.
Okay, I would say for the I've never had a negative, what I would call, interaction with police, Boise police. I think you guys are really excellent what you guys do, and I do thank you as well for your commitment that you've had to our community here. Thank you.
Thanks.
Ryan, thank you for the call. This brings up a point, and this was in the news a while ago, where you had the female officer with the YouTube and everything else. What was your perspective on that?
Well, you know, we have taught in our organization that the public has a right, if they have legal standing and they're legally in a place, that they can film our interactions as long as they don't interfere with us. So, I mean, we admitted to that. We admitted that we can do better. We know that that video was used as a training video for other police departments and other citizens. It was a guy that wanted his 15 seconds of fame. He goes around provoking folks like that. We should have handled it better, and we learned from it, and we are handling it better today.
Well, and again, as the unofficial media critic, it just seemed interesting. You know, we didn't really take an opinion on it. We went back and forth and let the listeners do it here at 580KIDO. But, you know, the media portrayal of it and having this goof on, you know, from the officer's perspective, I mean, here you have somebody who's under stress just trying to do their job. I'm sure a lot of people on the force had sympathy for this officer who, again, doesn't do it to be famous, but all of a sudden she's everywhere, and this jabroni from wherever he was writes were allegedly violated.
Yeah. I got to tell you, though, Kevin, is that if I'm going to be contacted by an officer like that, she was friendly, she was polite, she wasn't overbearing or oppressive. I thought it was a good contact. But you know what? He had a right to be there and film. And if safety was a concern, we call another officer over to make sure that we're watching that individual as well as taking care of the business of the traffic stop.
Chief Masterson with us as we continue on here at 580KIDO. Now, Chief, you've made some comments that were famous. Let's share these with everybody. I'm sure you know where I'm going.
We think it's a bad law. We think it's a bad mix. We don't think it's necessary, given the climates that we have on our college campuses. We're supported by the college leaders who unanimously agree that weapons should not be carried on campus.
These are tough comments that provoked a lot of thoughts both here and throughout the state. Your thoughts on campus carry, your thoughts on going public.
Yeah, well, I had, you know, let me just clarify something, because people thought, well, I just showed up that day and I should have been given some type of special treatment. I had registered the day before to testify. We had four other police officers there, some as far away as Moscow, that had come down to testify as well. And then we were effectively shut out. This wasn't an issue about guns on campus. This was an issue about the NRA and the backing for our legislatures for an election season coming up. That's what it was about. You had your police officials throughout the state that didn't think that this was a good rule, that it was a solution looking for a problem that didn't exist. We think that it's good now. And this was basically, you know, when you're running for re-election and you come out in support of something like this or opposed to it, you're opposed to it. You're going to be the subject of what you see on TV now with the federally elected officials. I mean, they're just bombarded on certain issues, and that's what would have happened. And that's what the NRA said. They got a mailing ready to go for 225,000 people here saying you didn't support this law. So it was all about the election cycle and the timing and the appearance of who's in support of pro or con gun laws.
Chief Masterson with us as we continue on here. You, what was the feedback that you received? Were people supportive or were they not when the police chief goes public and says democracy failed?
Yeah, I think people were generally supportive. They see what goes on up at the Capitol. It was a no-huddle offense on this one. It was going to go through. I can recognize a no-huddle offense. But all I wanted was the opportunity to have the discussion. I think that we miss out something in a free society when we don't have those unfettered discussions of safety and the unintended consequences and impact. And if they can't occur in the people's house up there, then they will occur in other venues that we have, such as the media.
More coming up next at 580KIDO. If you have a question for Chief Masterson, 580-5436, kevin@kidoam.com. Let's get you to work.
Good morning, Kevin. I got to say that you are the complete package as far as hosts go. You do veterans, soldiers, high schools, shelters. My gosh, I admire you for all you do.
Earning your trust every morning.
Thank God it's
Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Thank God it's
Kevin Miller in the morning. We continue on with Chief Masterson from the Boise Police Department. We go to the phones, and Chief, we will talk about the Veterans Group and the great work that you and Reverend Bill are doing in a minute. We go to Tea Party Bob from the Gem State Patriot, joining us now at 580KIDO with Chief Masterson.
Good morning, Chief Masterson. How are you today?
Good morning.
Just a quick question here. I understand this is an election year, and of course legislators are going to pass most anything in favor of the Second Amendment rights issues. And I think the campus carry bill was also not the most important one that should have been passed. The real question is why you were against the campus carry in light of all the shootings that have taken place in gun-free zones, and in light of the fact that people have been carrying guns on that campus for years, and administrators have never tried to stop it with metal detectors or other equipment.
Yeah, it's a good question. I wasn't totally opposed to the bill. I think that we should codify into practice in the state certain aspects of that bill that were good. I think retired law enforcement, I think we needed to clarify that off-duty law enforcement could also carry the gun. I'm a little concerned about the weakness of our concealed weapons carry permit and the training. There's nothing in there that standardizes a lesson plan. There's nothing in there basically other than, you know, who you are, who you can provide that type of training. And the fact that you just have to shoot 98 rounds without a qualification concerns me in crowded environments like schools. But you're absolutely right. I mean, what we have in this in a free society is, unless you want to put metal detectors everywhere, there's no 100% guarantee that you're going to keep a gun out of a prohibited area. And that's what we see at courthouses. And if you want to do that at a football stadium, you know what the costs are going to be, and you know how long it's going to take to wait in line as you go through those things.
Thank you for your time.
All right, thank you very much. We continue on. Terry, State College, Pennsylvania, for Chief Masterson at 580KIDO.
Good morning, Chief Masterson. How are you?
Good. Thanks, Terry.
I have a question, which is actually, I'm just very puzzled. I was at the Senate meeting, and I was hearing, $2 million, and I could be wrong on that, but large sums of money for additional security once the individuals with enhanced carry started carrying, or at least, that they understood they were carrying. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. And I ask this because my youngest daughter's now looking at different schools to go to. Well, if we're going to spend, per se, $2 million for all this enhanced security, and we know that these people that are coming in are trained, why didn't we already spend the $2 million in security for people that aren't trained or criminals and whoever that are carrying on campus that shouldn't have been, per se? So I'm a little puzzled why the security wasn't already in place, but yet now that we're going to have, lawful carry on campus, we're going to put the security in place. It seems contrary and backwards to my understanding. If you could help me understand that a little bit, I'd really appreciate it.
Well, Terry, I don't run a college campus, so that those questions are best left up to the college administrators as to why they do or don't. We live in a society where we create laws, and when we create laws, there is an expectation that, 98% of the people will comply with them, and I think that that's the case. But you're absolutely right, is that one of the hard things now that college administrators will have to decide is, because there's no requirement to declare that you carry a gun in a campus or anywhere else, is how are you going to determine who is the ones who have the lawful right to carry versus the ones who will be now packing without a permit or without the enhanced permit? That's a good question.
And if they have a concealed carry, it kind of reminds me a little bit of like registration. Wouldn't that identify them, but yet those don't necessarily want to be identified? It kind of takes away from the privacy issue of your own choice. So you understand my concern here?
I do, and I don't have a quick answer for you, sir.
Well, but I do thank you for your time.
Yep.
Thank you
thanks.
Very much.
All right, 580KIDO. Chief, a couple more quick thoughts here. You said you were concerned about people carrying at the football games, but according to the bill, and correct me if I'm wrong, you can't do that under this bill.
Right. No, I'm just saying is that the caller, Terry, made an important point about technology and prohibiting things like that. There are a lot of venues that the law specifically says that you cannot carry in venues that are over 10,000 people. So we think it's very clear with that. I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of changes with the security in that area. We still expect that people aren't going to carry a gun where it's prohibited.
Chief Masterson, how concerned are you, and here's an open-ended question, that folks here in Boise, along with Ada County and all your brothers and sisters in law enforcement, if God forbid something would happen at a campus, at a school, how do you deal for the oh my gosh, this has happened moment?
Yeah. I just attended a training session with about 80 sergeants, lieutenants, and captains from the five police agencies here in Ada County that focused on mass shootings and our response to it. Because, you know, when it happens, it just won't be the Boise Police Department or Meridian or the Ada County Sheriff. Is that we have a rich history of supporting each other in emergencies and crisis. And it was a good training session. It was 4 hours. I think we clarified a lot of the expectations. But I'll tell you, Kevin, I cringe, and I think most of my colleagues do, is to the day that we have to respond to that and, you know, with the hope that we can handle it like some of our other colleagues have across the country that have done a good job.
Chief, finally, let's talk a little bit about a program that you're very proud of. You've saw a need for it, and that's the Veterans Program, working with Reverend Bill and the Boise Rescue Mission and other folks within the community to make sure that our veterans return home and that their unique needs are taken care of. You know, so many times in the old days, we just throw people on the streets, and, you know, that has consequences.
Well, I think this is a good example of working upstream. Of course, we came to that realization after a deadly force encounter with George Nickel back in August of 2009, and we've been meeting ever since. We'll get 35 to 40 people around the table each month to talk about how we can connect and improve our services, not only from the police department dealing with veterans in crisis, you know, having a gun, threatening suicide, being drunk, to how you can get the dentures for that older veteran, to how we can get Vietnam veterans plugged into the VA, to, you know, we've got Steve Tillery has a fund for his son who was shot down and killed, and he's got a crawfish boil coming up in a trap shoot. So they're the fun things that we meet and talk about how we can work on the front end of the system better to make sure that the services get to the vets so that they don't end up in jail, they don't end up in a standoff with police. I think we're being pretty effective.
Anything else you'd like to share with us today?
Nope. I think, you know, it's a good day. When I was in briefing this morning, the officers just coming on for this new shift were lamenting the fact that there were only a couple entries in our watch commander's bulletin for the week. And that's a good week because that means that there's not a whole lot of crime happening out there, that people are safe, and that's the way it should be in one of these special weeks as we prepare for Easter.
Chief Masterson, we appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
You're listening to 580KIDO.
I would encourage people to, if they're going through a hard time, to seek God, to get into the Bible.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God, the only power of God.
Thanks, Miller.
Must hear radio every morning with Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. And we're going to do something unusual because today is Good Friday. We have so many things that we want to discuss. And more importantly, we're just going to give you a chance to offer review and commentary of the last 3.5 hours of this program. I would like to get your thoughts when we're talking about Good Friday, what it means to you, Jesus being crucified today, dying for your sins. And if you're not a believer, what this day means. We never really censor anybody's opinion, so we would love to get that. Number one. Number two, your thoughts on what Chief Masterson has to say concerning the concealed carry bill, community policing, and everything else at 580-5436. Kevin at KIDOAM.com. And I think it is important that we continue to have these discussions. And one thing that we've covered here and on the 580KIDO.com Kevin Miller hot list is the IRS and just how out of control they've become. Now, we have definitive proof clarified by our friends at Judicial Watch. This is why we are associated with them. They are a nonpartisan group that proves that the IRS was coordinating with the Department of Justice to go after conservative groups. I don't know how we can define this. a treasonable offense, a criminal prosecution? Will it happen under Eric Holder? Probably not. Will people understand and become aware of it? Probably not. When we talk about waking up America, my friends, waking up to figuring out what is at stake. Think about the power of the IRS in your life. If you've ever been audited, if you ever had to prove your innocence, what is it? Is it the IRS the only government organization where you have to prove your innocence? You're guilty until proven innocent, and you have to spend money, your money, on it. That's one issue. And talking about the IRS having too much power, and remember, they are the arm, they are the enforcement arm, they are the baton of Obamacare. The Internal Revenue Service and other U.S. agencies have been awarded about $415,000 in contracts to a license plate tracking company before Homeland Security leaders dropped a plan for similar work amid privacy complaints. Now, why in the world would the Forest Service, the U.S. Air Force's Air Combat Command, look to Vigilant Solutions to provide access to license plate databases or tools used to collect plate information? This is from Bloomberg. Now, why in the world would the Internal Revenue Service need a license plate tracking information? Maybe we should just make it official and say, from now on, when the Constitution is printed, forget the right to privacy. Forget the right to provide a warrant for the government to come in and get you. That's why the Edward Snowden situation is so alarming now that he's become the Muppet of Putin, if you will. Because Snowden revealed what our government has been doing for years. And instead of our government coming clean, the government lies to us. And therefore, we don't have faith in government. So then we have the tune-out factor where we just want to sit back and watch House of Cards or whatever the latest Netflix show is. All the while, we're hoping that the knock on the door is not on our door from the government officials. The IRS should not have the right, the authority, the power to track you with your license plates. Number one. Number two, and if Mike Simpson wants to get reelected, he should be campaigning effectively against the IRS. If Brian Smith would ever come over to this part of the state, you know, I hesitate to give Mr. Smith any advice because we've had him on five times. We've told him how to use a phone properly, and it doesn't work. You may say I'm being petty for that. I'm sorry. I'm an advocate for you and the program. It makes it very difficult to interview someone when their campaign manager constantly gets on the phone and knocks the candidate off. One time, yes. Two times, five times, This is a huge issue. You want to talk safety, security, privacy? The IRS is out of control. Where is Mike Simpson? Where is Brian Smith on this issue? Eric Holder, heck, I give it to one congressman. They're looking to withhold Holder's salary. But Daryl Issa releasing this, look, that's why we need this show locally to continue on. Selfishly, I ask you to keep me employed for the simple fact that you don't get this information anywhere else. You don't get it on the local news. You don't get it anywhere else. Oh, that's right-wing stuff. How can you tell me what is and isn't right-wing, and we're very proud of our conservative roots, that a government agency is coordinating with another government agency to persecute people, not based on whether or not they didn't pay their taxes, but because they're conservative, because they're Christians, because they believe in faith, family, and freedom. What's wrong with saying these people should not be working? These people are abusing power. These people need to be prosecuted. But when you have the crime-fighting, gun-hating attorney general...
We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
Then isn't it up to Congress to say enough is enough? They sure did that with Richard Nixon. They tried to do that with Ronald Reagan. Who's looking out for you? That's the big question. 580-5436 coming up. We'll talk road safety. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, if you missed any of our Matters of Faith program, make sure you go to 580KIDO.com. The podcast will be up there. Some great spiritual guidance, discovery, and spiritual food from our great panel today. Do appreciate them. And you want to hear Chief Masterson talk about the campus carry and the feedback there, community policing, that'll be in the 8 o'clock hour at 580kido.com. Here's something that has been troubling me. And I don't know what to do about it, but this is the first time it's happened to me here. I think it's the first time it's happened to me in Idaho. And maybe somebody knows the state law on this. I'm sitting there the other day, I think I was on Franklin, getting ready to do something close to nothing, but really different from the day before. And that's when I saw this parade of, had to be over 100 motorcycles. Over 100 motorcycles. And what happened was, you know, the light turned green and vroom, 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 maybe it's on 5 Mile. And it was just this parade. It was like the Sons of Anarchy squared. And then the light turned red. And in our lane, we were ready to go. We had the green light, but we didn't go because we had run, 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 and etc. Until the entire parade of motorcycle riders went through the intersection. Never mind that they were running a red light. Never mind that you had other folks who were trying to go the opposite direction standing by while the motorcycle riders took over the intersection. And I thought, that can't be right. Is there something in Idaho code that gives the right of way to a group of motorcyclers? And then I was talking to Sweet Willard the other day at 580KIDO, and he said the same thing happened to him with a group of militant bicyclists. Now, we do know when it comes to bicycles, they do have these special laws that if there's a four-way stop and everybody not stopping or red lights or whatever, they can run them. We've seen that. I have an issue with that. I think it's all about safety. But in reality, and again, this is from a guy that drives a Camry and is a sissy. I'm describing myself here at 580KIDO. What's the value of running the intersection so the group can stay together? And is there a state law designating said motorcycle riders, said bicyclists, to allow them to do that? And if there isn't, why be disrespectful to everybody else in their four-cylinder little cars? And I'm just sitting there amazed at 580KIDO. As nobody honked, nobody did anything, we just kind of took it. Now, nobody wants to have any altercations, but why provoke everybody else? And look, I'm not going to be a sissy, although I am in real life. How unfortunate, how unacceptable. Think about that. I'd love to get some emails from you, some insight on that. Kevin at KIDO WFAM.com. 51 in Star, Idaho. Let's get you to work safely. 8:59, Kevin Miller in the morning. I do want to wish you a happy, healthy Easter. We'll be with you on Monday. And take some time to understand the sacrifice that Jesus made for you today. We all have our crosses to bear, literally, more likely figuratively in comparison. We appreciate you. We're cheering for you. Have a great day for you and your family. May God bless you. Keep the faith.